Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Stunning Stancy at your service. To my right, ravishing Ro Moran, and busy in the middle of some Christmas hullabaloo at the hotel.
Not watching Star Wars.
Yeah. Rowdy Raf Camus.
Sorry, bro.
All right, so
you did watch Star Wars, though.
You've seen Star Wars. By the time this comes out, I'll have seen Star Wars.
I hope a lot of you who are listening right now have seen it.
Yeah.
Since I am you, I know.
Right, and I hope that you've seen it before Terminus. Because I hope none of you blame Terminus for not having seen Star Wars. Oh. You know what I mean? Because I know that for some people, it's like a moral dilemma. Terminus or Star Wars, one over the other.
But Star Wars, eh.
Yeah, but you know, we'd rather that you see Star Wars by the time you've seen Terminus.
When is the Metronome of the Film Fest starting the show?
Christmas.
25.
Yeah.
Okay.
So by the time, January 1, I think.
That's a lot of time, guys. Yeah. That's a lot of time.
Yeah. So you'll have some time. All right. Without spoiling anything, though, you got to let me know how it was.
Okay,
was it worth the time and the traffic and all that shit?
What I'm going to say is, it's not, if you spend a lot, like IMAX or 3D or 4D, wherever it may be, it's not going to be worth all that money.
Okay.
But it was nice. Because it's obvious that you're setting up a new trilogy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can do Star Wars as a one-off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, without spoiling anything, I'm going to say that the first episode, episode 7, the first episode of this trilogy, is an episode that goes up. You know, it's the first stage.
So it lays a foundation.
Yeah, it lays a foundation. The good thing is all the stupid shit from the prequel trilogy is not there.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, nobody will have to find out he or she is a Jedi thanks to midichlorians or whatever. A lot of nostalgia pieces are there. A lot of throwback moments. Everything does come together. It's not just... they're not just fan service.
It's not a reboot lang.
It's not a reboot. It is a reboot in a way, but in a fashion that picks up where the main trilogy, the first three movies, left off.
So I'm assuming that the new actors didn't disappoint. So, you know, Adam Driver, John Boyega.
No, yeah, they're pretty good. I like John Boyega a lot. He has really good comic timing. Daisy Ridley is really hot.
Which, you know, I would have expected to hear. Yeah. How about Lupita Nyong'o? Because I was actually curious about her.
I didn't see her. I think... it's weird. I was looking for her the whole movie. But I think she was doing voice acting. I have to check again. So Wikipedia, I guess.
Or IMDb or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see her at all. I'm guessing she was doing some voice acting of one of the slightly important characters in the movie.
Uh-huh.
What I didn't like about this is that because there's so much time that passed between the main trilogy and this.
A good 30-something years.
Yeah, because andaming nangyari.
Yeah.
Or andaming panahon. Andaming taon na lumipas. We're thrust in the middle of things, you know? And I understand why they did it. Because, of course, Han and Luke and Leia are so old now.
Yeah.
That there's no choice but to...
work around that.
Yeah. And, you know, put us in medias res of their lives. Of their post-main trilogy lives.
Yeah.
It's like we're expected to know all these things, but we don't because it's not the expanded universe.
Uh-huh.
Which was thrown away because of this movie.
Here's a question, though. Because I was initially planning to watch at least episodes 4, 5, 6 before watching episode 7. I obviously don't have enough time to do that. Will episode 7 still make sense to me?
Yeah, as long as you know what happened.
Yeah. So if I know the
basics. May general idea ka ng move, ng nangyari sa 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, like, you know, I saw it as a kid.
Yeah, you know what the story is, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I just really didn't like the fact that ang dami nangyari and we're in the middle of it. And, like, we're supposed to know all these things instead of them unfolding right before our eyes. But it's not their fault, then. It's something that you have to know. And I guess the super climactic moments weren't so climactic to say it's just an episode that lays down the foundation of the next saga.
So I'm assuming it's like 2 hours plus.
No, actually, we came in there 5:30 and it just ended before 8. So, two hours. It's not as crazy as The Hobbit or any of the Lord of the Rings films.
Is it the type of movie na by the 1 hour 30 minute mark you're looking at your watch, or you know you're checking to see?
I have to admit that I kind of did have to look at my watch. Like, okay, what time is it now? Are we ending? It wasn't so. Ano kasi, that's what happens when it's not super climactic.
Yeah.
It's not gonna wow you. It's not gonna. It's not gonna blow your mind,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of the Marvel movies do. But at the same time, if you're a Star Wars fan, you'll be happy by the fact that Star Wars is back, and instead of filling in the prequel or what happened before the main trilogy, they're actually moving on and setting up a new story. That's something to be happy about. Because I'm, even though I have to admit, I kind of had a lukewarm reaction to this movie, I'm pretty excited as to what happens next.
Okay.
Pero sayang lang, no? There's always a way naman to build up or lay foundation and pull off something super exciting and super over-the-top climactic, over-the-top mind-blowing at the same time.
Well, thanks for leveling my expectations. Because I never planned to watch it in IMAX or like 3D or 4DX.
Well, that's good. Ako naman kasi, speaking of expectations, I knew to temper them because we all know what happened in the prequels.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was so hyped about a new Star Wars movie coming out back then.
Yeah.
And for those who really hated what happened, like for The Phantom Menace, for everyone who was so disappointed by that, it kind of, you know, I was too young to be disappointed, really. So, you know, new Star Wars movie, new generation.
Yeah, I mean, we were 9 when that came out.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. If you were disappointed by The Phantom Menace, I would admit, or you would at least try to keep it down a little bit. Para lang hindi ka masaktan masyado.
Okay. Well, I'm going to see it tomorrow night, right after the show, in SM Santa Mesa, of all places.
At least meron ka na, ano,
diba? Well, I haven't bought the tickets yet because it's fucking SM Santa Mesa. You can just show up.
You never know. What if other people have the same idea?
Seats aren't reserved there, though.
Okay.
So I have that going for me.
Kung may pila.
Yeah.
What's the last full show, anyway?
9.
Okay. Good
so,
luck.
Yeah, I'll probably make it. Yeah. Anyway,
so,
yeah, those are my plans.
Watch the movie, but well, the good thing is, all the good feelings come rushing back at the first, you know, at the first few minutes.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, everything is familiar again. The crawl, the opening, the long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It just kind of levels out as it goes on.
All right.
That's all.
Okay, I've got my expectations ready. You know what? Now I'm kind of glad that you saw it before I did.
Okay, that's good. Because, no, if I were you, I wouldn't want anyone, I think, to tell me what the general idea is. Because even if I do get to level my expectations, I would want to find out for myself.
Ah, okay. That's where we're different. Because I actually
Yeah. That's actually a good mindset to go in with.
Yeah. You know, like, I kind of want to manage my expectations. And, I don't know, in recent years, I've been cool about being spoiled about certain things.
Okay.
Which brings me to this week's Raw.
Because Raw again?
Well, no. Not jumping into Raw again. I mean, by the time you're listening to this, you know what happened.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't watch Raw live unlike I usually do. Because for some reason, my stream was just god-awful this week. Yeah, probably. Blame it on the rain. So, you know, our buddy Lynch was the one who filled me in on what happened. Mm. But before we get to that, fine. Let's talk about TLC. Because TLC...
No, wait, really?
Wait,
we're jumping right in?
Where do we start?
We're not going to say anything about the Golden State Warriors?
Oh, fine. Yeah. Let's eulogize the streak a bit. Buck Lesnar. Which, you know, I'm surprised that Anthony wasn't the first one to think about that.
Kailangan nandito si Anay. Kamo, sir.
Yeah.
I want to know how he feels.
Yes, because he's the real Warriors fan among the three of us.
To me, it's not a big deal as long as you, I don't care if you lose, as long as you get your healthy team in the playoffs.
Besides, I mean, you know, some people can actually justify na, yeah, it's okay that Golden State lost to Milwaukee because, yeah, they weren't at full strength.
Yeah.
They came off a really, really tight double overtime win against Boston.
Yeah.
Diba? So, you know, it was kind of manageable na, yeah, they lost. And I like Curry's mindset nung post-game interview. He was asked, what do you do now? Where do you go from here? And he's like, might as well start a new streak.
Yeah. Or get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Yeah. Diba? The funny thing about the Warriors streak being everybody's water cooler topic is everybody's forgotten about the Spurs, who only have lost 4 times in 23, 24 games all year.
Okay.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make
that's not better than winning 24 in a row.
It's not. It's not. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, everybody's just looking at Golden State. San Antonio is weirdly becoming this underrated team.
To that extent. I don't think they're underrated because they... You know, this is a team that's won a championship in the last 5 years.
But, you know, in the midst of everybody raving that, oh, Paul George...
No, they're not underrated. I think they're just properly rated.
Hindi.
You said they're underrated and you said overrated.
I would say that they're under the radar.
At this point?
At this point, yeah. Because everyone's talking about shit like...
I don't know.
Indiana is hot because Paul George is hot. The Hornets are like second or third in the East.
Yeah, that's true.
But the Warriors are the talk of the town. And then there's Kawhi Leonard who's making the leap this year. Oh. This is the leap for Kawhi Leonard.
Now, I don't know, because if you're smart enough, you wouldn't discount the Spurs at all in any position.
Sadly, not everybody is smart enough.
Because Golden State won the championship in the conference last season. But yeah.
They never faced the Spurs.
Yeah, they never. And that not just that, but, you know, I know that the Spurs are good. Because, again, as I mentioned, they've won a championship in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's not like they dismantled the whole team anyway.
No, they didn't.
Like, the core part's still there, still working.
Yeah.
Still running. So it just didn't happen last year, but I wouldn't be so dumb as to discount them at all.
See, I don't know. I guess ang sa akin lang is I've been so used to people talking about the Spurs that... Mm-hmm. Not hearing or seeing much or getting to read much about the Spurs is new to me. Mm. Especially since over the last 3 years, naging out na ako about my fandom of the Spurs. You know, so it's very new to me. But, you know, I guess just to wrap this one up, the Warriors had a great streak. It was definitely worth talking about. Mm. And there's a part of me that wishes it had gone as far as 30. I would have wanted to see it stretch past 30.
At the end of the season, I think the only important question really is at the end of the season, we're going to have to ask Warriors fans, whatever happens at the end of the postseason, okay, was it worth it that you set a new record if you didn't win the championship anyway? Or even, you know, get as far as whatever.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because you have to understand that my mindset din sila heading into every game right after they continue to win in the streak, diba? Like every game has begun to feel like a finals game. And I won't claim to understand what it means to be like a pro basketball player, but you can imagine at least the weight has been lifted off their shoulders.
And the only reason why the Bulls get to say shit anyway is because they won that year.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And Golden State can't say that yet anyway.
But them's the breaks, and you know, it's still a long season.
So sorry, Camus.
Yeah.
If you're feeling down about this.
But you know, Camus and all the Warriors fans, here's something. I guess to make you all feel better, we're all rooting for you guys against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Christmas.
Oh, naman.
Because fuck LeBron. Anyway.
Mas wala pa yung bandwagon na yun.
Yeah. Let's jump right in then to this week in wrestling. A lot has happened. That's an understatement. But there are two big questions we have to get to as we try to make sense of everything that went down.
Mm.
So let's cut to the chase. Roman Reigns is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm.
And before I get to my first question... I gotta say, I enjoyed the match.
Oh, no man.
I enjoyed the match.
Although which one? Are we talking about the Raw match?
The Raw match.
Okay. I just wish that I wasn't spoiled. You know, it was one of those moments that I really, really wish I caught live, and that's not something I get to say anymore.
You know what? I actually agree. Because, I mean, I did want to be spoiled, but when I did get spoiled, I was like, fuck, I wish I didn't.
Oh, no man. Like, I know, you know, TLC, I wasn't actively trying to avoid it, but... You know, I didn't go on Twitter anyway, just so I could have some sense of surprise, at least.
Yeah.
When I was watching. And first, kahit paano. I mean, I got inadvertently spoiled in general when I heard about Roman snapping and Hunter being taken out.
Right.
But at least, I got to see everything with fresh eyes. Like, I got to see how these things happened, and that's always good. But that didn't happen for Raw.
Because I told you.
No, not just that. Even if you hadn't told me, I would have found out since it was so monumental.
Yeah. You know, I haven't told you this, but both main event matches from TLC and Raw, I actually caught them with my dad. Like I called him. He was at home. He wasn't particularly busy, so I was like, "Hey, let's watch a TLC main event." So we watch it live, right? And I don't know. Compared to me, my dad is a relative mark, right? He doesn't have smart goggles at all. So it was fun seeing him react, him asking questions and me filling him in along the way, shit like that. But in Raw main event, like I didn't spoil him at all.
Okay,
I knew what happened, but he was into it.
That's the feeling. It's something I only get to have if I'm watching live.
Yeah.
Whenever and you're watching live and you're following with everyone on Twitter, you get to make wisecracks with everyone else. That's the fun part.
Hindi nga lang yung wisecracks. I think sa akin, just the genuine reactions.
Yeah.
You know, just me
and
my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that he's cool na napaputang ina ako after the Superman punch.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that was coming.
Like, no, yun nga, parang I had to watch everything earlier today. And it was with the knowledge na... certain things were going to happen.
Yeah.
If I saw that live along with everyone else, I would have been really invested. As much as, as much as the crowd. That was really hot that time.
Yes.
That night.
And take into consideration that it was Philly. The same crowd that booed the fuck out of Roman
earlier
at the Royal
year.
Rumble. Diba? So things have come full circle. I've come full circle.
Thank you.
To
finally,
an extent.
Finally.
Because I enjoyed it. I legitimately enjoyed it. Roman Reigns is not my favorite wrestler. Still not going to be in my fave five, diba? But I'm going to give the guy his due. I'm going to give Sheamus his due, and say that they both played their roles to a T that night, and that's why Raw. If you've read my Raw review this week, I gave it an A just because they built the episode.
The emotion.
Yeah, and they built the episode around such a huge plot point that had consequences all the way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Diba? Even if say it doesn't affect our truth per se. If you lose Roman Reigns, it's going to fill a void, or it's going to leave a void that everybody will feel. So for that alone, Raw deserved that A grade.
I just wish what would have capped it really is if the people who are associated with Roman, like the Usos and Dean Ambrose, were also punished that night. Because it's not even though it's only Roman, it's what an evil power would do. You would also take it out on your friends, on his friends, even though they didn't do anything.
Just to build off on that, Vince has a history of being petty.
Oh.
So when he punishes somebody, he doesn't, in real life, he also punishes the friends. Right? Like we used to think that after CM Punk left, AJ would be in the doghouse.
Yeah.
So that line of thinking should also be applied to the authority in kayfabe.
Not just that, not just because they're petty, but also because it's only natural.
Yeah.
It's only natural na, parang, as you said before, these people don't exist in vacuums. Like, these are people with actual networks and actual relationships that are linked to each other. So, parang, it should only make sense that the corollary should be, Roman Reigns punched out the chairman.
Yeah.
So, whoever is in charge should also be punishing the Usos and Dean Ambrose.
Because they're family.
They're family, and they would also be, logically against the authority.
And, if they were in that situation, you could probably expect them to do the same thing.
Or
at least defend Roman.
Yeah.
It's the same as you being in an office and you avoiding whoever's in the doghouse. Because you don't want to be, you don't want to take heat from your own boss. Diba? So it's very realistic. So in that regard, yeah, dun lang siguro nakulang.
And reading the spoilers for SmackDown this week, it's continuing. Kasi parang Roman is being treated as though he were in a vacuum. Yun lang naman.
Which, kind of brings you back to Cena.
Oh.
Diba? Kasi Cena has always, more often than not, existed in the vacuum.
Mm.
So, ayan. But I'm in a wait-and-see approach, or I'm taking a wait-and-see approach.
We're nitpicking a bit here, so we go back to Roman itself, which finally turned around. Kasi it started with the TLC post-match beatdown.
Yeah.
And it's actually the Roman you wanted to see, the Roman
yes.
I wanted to see, because this guy isn't saying suffer and succotash, son.
Yeah, this guy's just beating people up with a steel chair. He's angry. He's gnarling.
Oh, isn't that what everyone would do?
Yeah,
that's what That's what finally got him to connect with the audience, because he finally did something everyone would do.
when you're angry, you don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Roman Reigns was on Sunday night for TLC. So,
And Monday night,
yeah. So, you know, parang they stripped away all of the corniness and the manufactured bits.
For now.
And they let him just be a man of few words, and they let his action speak for itself.
Yeah.
And that was good. Because sometimes simple is better. Less is more. Mm. Diba? So let's get to our first question for this week. And that question is, was this week the right time for the trigger to be pulled?
I don't think there is a right time in this context. Kasi parang, maybe the categorical answer is no. But now that we've done it, or now that they've done it, now that they've pulled the trigger, for one thing, there's no choice but to run with it. And for another thing, they pull it off well.
Yeah. The way I see it, whether or not it was the right time, it makes sense in hindsight.
Yeah.
Kasi, you know, there have been numerous reports about ratings being so down.
No, here's the thing, though. Even though ratings are in dire need of help, the meltdown alone from TLC was enough to get Raw an extra million viewers than what they were seeing from the past couple of weeks. So that tells me, as long as Roman Reigns was kept this kind of guy, angry, not giving a fuck, really rebelling against the authority, as long as you milk that and just propel it forward with some really sensible momentum, I think you would have retained I think you would have retained that increased rating, and as long as you build on it, it's gonna help you out, and then you can use that momentum to at least flesh out a decent story out of it.
I guess, you know, without the benefit of hindsight, you know, looking into the things that have happened since TLC, I would have actually said, nah, I wish they'd saved it for WrestleMania. Because you have to admit, the whole overcoming the odds thing, winning the title at WrestleMania.
I was really, after TLC, I was telling you guys, I was ready to have the main event be Roman Reigns versus Triple H. In a somewhat rehash of the Daniel Bryan versus the Authority story from 2 years ago?
Yeah, as long as it's not a complete rehash, diba?
Na,
as long as
you don't have to do the
main event thing.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you could have had Sheamus face off against whoever won the Rumble or something, right? But now that we're here, I don't think it's relevant anymore I don't think it's necessary to really nitpick on whether it was the right time.
Yeah, kasi ito na, we're not going to change it.
Yeah.
And it helped. It worked. Maybe if it didn't work, if it fell flat, maybe we could have... maybe there is more merit in discussing the wisdom of this move.
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, you know, we spent a couple minutes just talking about how well they executed this. But can we actually think off the top of our heads of a way that they would have executed this, that we would just pan so badly?
Maybe if Roman was still his old self.
Now he was being corny.
Yeah.
How about if... See, here's the thing. I mean, after having watched the match, I'm not so sure that I'm pissed off anymore that he had a little bit of a Superman comeback.
Well, because the odds were legitimately stacked against him.
Mm-hmm.
It was Vince there. I think Vince is the ultimate odd.
Yeah. So once he had him in the picture... I guess sa akin nawala yung inis ko with the Superman comeback when Roman punched Vince, because it was cathartic for me.
Yeah, you know, that was the guy who is scripting most of this terrible shit anyway.
Yeah,
and I think then part of it is that we really didn't know if we were gonna see the title change hands on television.
Yes,
not
of all
pay-per-view.
Places. Right, right.
So parang it's all. I mean, the two outcomes were just as likely. Or even you can even say that the firing outcome would be even more likely. Because we've seen that happen before
with Cena.
Yeah,
but he had the whole Juan Cena bullshit with the Nexus, which I was afraid would happen. Because I knew that Vince McMahon had come out and he'd put this ultimatum.
Yeah.
So I was immediately thinking, oh shit, they're gonna bring Roman Reigns back as a Juan Cena like character.
Well, the funny thing is, I didn't think that was gonna happen, but I was actually expecting the. Or had I not known the result, I would have expected that he would get fired and then something would be done with him. He would try to manipulate his way back in.
CM Punk or something.
Yeah, by baiting the authority.
Well, you know, you were on the cautious, optimistic side.
It's not even cautious. It's something that has happened before.
I was just expecting the worst. Now, you know, they would go the corny route and, you know, do what Cena did 5 years ago. But I'm glad that, you know, things happened the way they did. So now it leads us to question number two. What happens now? Where do we go from here? SmackDown spoilers aside, what do we do now that Roman Reigns is champion? You know, does Sheamus continue to challenge? Do we continue this past the Rumble? Who wins the Royal Rumble? These are all questions that are percolating, in all of our minds.
Actually, the funny thing is, I'm actually expecting him to get fired either way. See, you don't do that to your bosses, and even if you're the champ.
Follow up question to that then, because I'm not very familiar with the Attitude Era, so I don't know all of the specifics of Austin's saga with Mr. McMahon.
I don't think Austin ever got fired, except I don't. Vince wanted him around so he can try to kick his ass.
But Austin always laid his hands on Vince, exactly. Right? As the champion.
Yeah.
So, in a way, that set the precedent. Nah, Roman can still kind of get away with that shit.
If he's actually, you know, mainly feuding with Vince. But he's feuding with Hunter. I would actually be interested if, you know, in an angle where they fire him while still being the champion.
Because it puts the championship in, in a way, it kind of strips him of the championship.
Yeah, it's a state of limbo.
Yeah, there. Thank you. I was looking for that. So, all of that being said, who's the front runner now to be the Royal Rumble winner?
The Royal Rumble winner, I don't know. It could be Brock Lesnar.
I honestly don't have a top of mind guy.
It's most likely Brock Lesnar.
Diba? I mean, if Sheamus were the champion, mas malaking field na pagpipilian eh. But at this rate, I don't see... I guess aside from Brock, I don't see anyone even being a dark horse candidate to be the Royal Rumble winner. It's just so hard.
I don't want to think about the Royal Rumble because I want to really have them focus on Roman versus Hunter at WrestleMania. That is a money match right now. Especially with how they build it. I don't want them to waste it at the Rumble. I want them to... have the Sheamus rematch at the Rumble and then build toward a match with Triple H. Because it's always the bigger than championship matches that hook me in the most. Because that's a real story right there.
Yeah.
Employee versus evil boss.
And it's a story that's been building for months.
Yeah. Which is why it worked when it was Daniel Bryan versus Triple H.
Speaking of Daniel Bryan, We talked about him last week, diba? Na parang if he calls it quits here, you know, is he Hall of Fame worthy? I don't know. I don't know if it's reasonable or unreasonable to still be holding out hope that somehow he finds his way back into the picture, not even the title picture, but just in the picture, in relevance.
Yeah.
If he is able to come back by the new year, like, is that still something within reason?
Well, yeah, because it. When he comes back, people will be demanding for him to perform at a relevant spot. There is no way people will let the WWE treat him as something less than an upper mid-card player. Because he's just that popular. And the WWE would be dumb as well to treat him that way, considering knowing firsthand how popular he really can be, or he really is.
You know, I hope he comes back. Because if Daniel Bryan comes back in time for the Rumble, this is me going back to the same place I was last year. I'm putting all of my eggs in one basket. He would be my front runner if for some reason he's cleared. He would be my front runner to win the Rumble. It's easy to write.
My only concern is if Roman would be facing Triple H, and I think he should, if he would still be champion by then.
Uh-huh.
That's my only dilemma. Like, I'm trying to work it out in my head. Na, would he still be champion if he were to face Hunter at WrestleMania?
Feeling ko hindi. Kasi they won't let... I don't think Hunter will let himself be in a championship match at Mania at this stage
of
his
career. No, not necessarily a championship match. It's just a match with him, and it just so happens that he's a champion. Gets one championship match.
Okay, business-wise, that probably doesn't make sense because it takes away one huge match that they can promote.
Diba? That's true.
I mean, the more matches with gravity that you could promote, the better for your show. And, well, no championship match leaves a lot of, you leave $1 million on the That's table, true. So to speak.
Anyway, yeah. Well, you know, it's just a thing I'm thinking about.
Right, right. Yeah, so let us know what you think. I mean,
you know what is, Anna, what this whole thing moves them into a position?
What?
They can now organically reunite the Shield as faces.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, so Roman, obviously, we already know where he stands.
Yeah.
He's fighting the Authority.
Yeah.
And Roman is still associated with Dean.
Right.
Who has fought the Authority on an on and off basis.
Uh-huh.
So they're still banding together.
Yeah.
Seth comes in as a guy who the Authority could look at as someone who's failed them.
So parang
because he got injured. So, and he got injured badly, forcing them, you know. You could always write up a story where the Authority is mad at Seth for forcing them to rewrite so many plans leading up to Survivor Series.
Yeah, basically like how not to be the Golden Boy.
Oh. And if the Authority casts him out, he'll have nowhere else to go but to join the people who are fighting them, leading to a reformation of the Shield. That makes sense.
Feeling ko maganda yung magiging dynamic nun. Because
yeah.
If you remember yung 2014 Royal Rumble, that was the time na Dean, Seth, and Roman were...
They
were starting to bicker.
Yeah.
Diba? They were on fire at the same time. Dean and Roman were getting in each other's faces. And everybody thought that Dean was going to be the bad guy who would break away from the Shield. And Seth was the glue guy.
Yeah.
And if you come into 2016 with a healthy Seth Rollins, mm-hmm. and he's the one with the huge question mark over his head, it's a complete 180 of what happened that time.
But people can change.
Yeah. Which you know, is realistic because yeah. People can change. I guess the only concern there would be Seth would have to recover at a Cena-esque rate.
That's true.
For him to even figure in a storyline like that that organically leads to
Mania. It doesn't have to be a WrestleMania story. It just can be a story. Like, the breakup of the Shield wasn't a WrestleMania story.
Yeah, it wasn't. But wouldn't you agree na something so huge, something like that, and you know that the Shield will still be money in 2016, 2017.
There'll always
wouldn't
be money,
you want that, you know, for Mania? Just to milk it for what it's worth?
Because
I would.
Yeah, I would too. But we'll also have to be realistic here. Is it the injury?
Yeah, the injury is supposed to take him out 6 to 9 months.
Mm.
The
early... But I have a feeling that... Here's the thing. I know you want it for Mania. I want it for Mania as well. But if this isn't Seth's angle when he comes back, you'll have wasted the opportunity. Because if he does something else, you can't go back, or, you know, you only have like a window of 2 or 3 months before the Authority turns on you.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Are you trying to say nah, anything other than this storyline for Seth Rollins will be a botch once he
no,
comes back?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you go with something else when he comes back,
yeah,
you will not have the opportunity to do a Shield reunion unless you wrap up that something else in like 2 months tops. I say whatever else he's gonna do, he's gonna be stuck doing that. That's gonna lead to a whole other story that may or may not organically build up to a Shield reunion.
No, you know what? I just thought of something. We may not get this for Mania. And I'm beginning to come to terms with that because we could get this for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Think about the timetable.
That could be a thing,
yeah, it could get to SummerSlam. Lalo na WWE has also been trying to build SummerSlam as Mania Lite.
Right.
So
exactly.
If we got this for SummerSlam, I would be cool with it. Totally be cool with it.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not. Actually, inisip ko pa nga, like if I really wanted to push this at Mania, I would make Seth like, you know, their mouthpiece. Pero
then,
I just wouldn't be sure how, you know, they could work around that.
But I know it's a surefire way to keep three new stars on top. You know, have them fight the biggest heels on the roster.
Here's
and,
something.
And also create stars out of the League of Nations, assuming you play the League of Nations correctly. So they can always be the Authority henchmen, and they are much better at it than J&J, Security, and Kane.
Oh yeah, Totally. Like, I'm totally digging the League of Nations. Mm. I just want to bring this up really quickly because we have talked about Cena in quite some time.
Oh.
And we were expecting him to be back by this week.
Oh.
And
was he going to be back by this week?
He was supposed to be back right after TLC.
Yung ba yung sabi? Baka next.
Or,
no. What I know is he was supposed to be back after Christmas.
Oh, after Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, like, where does Cena fit in now? Does he fight the League of Nations? Does he fight the Authority?
I think Cena's first feud back is Alberto.
Yeah.
For sure.
But if he fights with Alberto, does it automatically associate him as an enemy of the League? And
it's
the Authority by association?
I don't know if it makes him automatically an enemy of the Authority, but well, history will make him an enemy of the Authority.
Because my fear is, if that happens, if by association, kasi kalaban siya ni Del Rio, kalaban siya ng Authority, he might steal Roman's thunder.
I don't think so. I'm not so sure about it. I think as long as Cena plays in the United States Championship scene, there is no thunder to steal from Roman.
No, regardless
there might be thunder to steal from Dean.
I'm not as scared for Dean as I am for Roman kasi it's not necessarily about the title scene. It's more of sino yung magiging bida sa storyline kung nagsanib pwersa tong mga to.
Roman.
Really? Kasi
at this point it has to be.
It has to be. No, I agree
he
na it has to
so
be.
Much.
No, I agree. I agree that it has to be Roman. I'm just afraid na, you know, they might make it about Cena the same way na, you know, Survivor Series 2014 was built all around him.
But it so happened that Survivor Series 2014 saw the spotlight going to Dolph.
I think it was because they consciously built towards it without us seeing it coming.
I guess.
Diba? I guess there is just that fear. But, you know, I would be glad to be wrong. And I've been saying this a lot now over the last few months. I would be glad to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear from you. And we want to hear from you. Let us know what you think. Let's talk about this on Twitter. We are social. It's at RoseWar, at underscore Stancy, at the SGP Podcast. Same handle as it is on the Facebook like page. It's at the SGP Podcast. As we're recording this, we're 3 days away from Terminus.
Mm. Oh, wait. One last thing about you know, WWE.
Sure.
I just noticed that they put themselves consciously, and I don't know how voluntary it was, but they consciously put themselves in a position, like kind of hitting the panic button to boost the ratings. I said not only was Roman being champion a part of that move,
yeah,
but you also have Dean winning the Intercontinental Championship,
right?
I say I have a feeling that finally they kind of figured out now, okay, if we want ratings to go up, we're gonna have to have the faces on top.
In a way, it reminds me of yung habit nga nila dati na when ratings go down, Cena eventually becomes champ.
Yeah.
Or Orton becomes champ, depending on, you know, their alignment or wherever they are as storylines.
Well, I guess it's more now of when ratings are down, put faces as champions. Because it's not a bad move. It's not a bad philosophy.
Yeah. No, I hope na ganun yung ano. I hope na ganun yung thinking instead of Roman is the new Cena, where regardless of what he is, ratings are down, Roman is champion. You get what I'm trying to...
That might be what could happen in the future.
It might. Yeah. Again, I would love to be wrong. Okay.
Sorry. Terminus, yes.
Yeah. Terminus is coming up. We have a huge card, and we've been working on this, you know, for the last month or so. For some of the matches, you know, the stories and, you know, these rivalries have been building up for the better part of a year.
Yeah.
So, particularly this beef between Jake De Leon and Bombay Suarez and the Royal Flush.
Oh, matagal na yan.
Since day one. Since day one, yeah. And in fact, this was a match that happened last year.
Yeah.
At Terminus.
This with slightly different people.
Slightly different people, but essentially the same story. And it just goes to show how, you know, how huge of a heel the Royal Flush is. So I'm excited for that. I am really pumped as well for the Chris Panzer-Miguel Rosales match.
That was from out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, we've been wheeling and dealing, making some calls, making some friendships, and we have a working relationship with MYPW. Mm. I'll be getting more into that at Terminus itself.
Malaysian Pro Wrestling? Is that what it's to know?
Yes, Malaysian Pro Wrestling. Suffice it to say that whoever comes out of this match will be the Philippines' top dog into that, you know, into that working relationship. Mm. So whoever wins, let's give him our full support. Hashtag Puso, as we like to say. You've also got the Path of Gold match. Mm-hmm. I am excited for this.
I think that's our very first clusterfuck.
Yes. I tried not to use that term because I know how much you hate clusterfucks.
Oh, no.
But let's call a spade a spade. It's a clusterfuck.
It's not always a bad thing.
You know, I loved Idol's use of you know that graphic with the watermark.
Oh, yung ano, shirts niya.
Yeah, painting on everybody. It
makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Either those people will be his new downlines, or he'll be the first one out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't wait to see how everybody performs, and obviously to see who wins and what his choice will be. You've also got another grudge match: Sandata versus Zatu.
Yep.
Sandata versus Zatu, you know, last time...
Those two really hate each other, I think.
Last time, everybody was chanting for a second chance or one
wala
more chance.
Wala natang second chance ang bibigay.
Yeah, I mean, there's no going back at this point. Mm. After everything these two have done...
I wonder if it's because people want a tag team, you know, more tag teams.
I mean, people have been clamoring for a tag team title scene.
Oh, pero, yeah. I mean, you can't really have a tag team championship if you don't have tag teams to contend for it.
I mean, I've received letters.
Oh.
Letters from
from
people clamoring for a championship. Oh. And, hey, we like teams, or I want to be in a team. So I'm like, I get it.
Oh, when are you going to get your inner Teddy Long on?
Man, I already did. This is why the Royal Flush and JDL Bombay is happening.
That's just one thing. And they're not, you know, they're not even challenging for the championship. Or for a championship of tag team.
The elimination tag match at Revo X, that was also my doing.
Okay.
Right? How about when I gave...
But like, two-thirds of those teams are not teams anymore.
How about when I gave Dual Shock that second match at Vendetta?
Right, right, right.
See, I know when to pick my spots. You know, just so it's not totally a Teddy Long ripoff. What am I missing aside from the championship match? Am I missing anything else? Like, I'm literally stumped right now. But if I did forget...
You did cover a lot of the big matches anyway.
Lucha de Apuestas. Hair versus Mask. Apocalypse versus Mark Di Manalo. Yeah, so there. That's another one that I'm sure will be pretty heated. Just because, well, I've been the personal victim of Mark Di Manalo's heat.
Okay.
Right? So I don't know what to expect. I just let it happen.
I just wish people would go because we're right smack dab, not just in the middle of Christmas season, but also a typhoon.
Oh,
two
yeah.
Two typhoons.
Oh, yeah. And of course, you've got
crazy.
A main event with a story like no. Well, a story we've seen before, but then again, who doesn't love a good underdog story? Right? Rafa Imabayashi, the Japanese sensation, going up against classical Brian Leo. Mm. And if you were there at PWR Live, you saw him have his moment. You know that this kid is ready for the big time, and it's his chance to either sink or swim.
Right. And I really want to see what he can do. I think he's so good. Ralph is so good. He is a ring general in the making. And I would like to see how far he can truly take classical Brian Leo, and if he can pull out the win. That would be such a huge moment to end the year.
Yeah. The last time that people overlooked Ralph Imabayashi, he came out with the match of the night.
Right.
And that was at PWR Live.
Right.
And now he's in a similar situation where the Royal Flush is paying him no mind. Classical Brian Leo, that guy doesn't give a fuck either.
Mm-hmm.
So Imabayashi clearly works when the odds are stacked against him. And
just like a good underdog, I guess.
Yeah. It'll be a treat to watch him perform this Saturday. And before we get to Saturday, here's one thing that I kind of want to bring up.
I know.
It's not exactly PWR related, but it's something I want everyone to be involved with. Mm. And this is Smart Henry's feature for the month of December,
okay.
The 31 Days of Wrestling. No, it's not a plea. It's not like a GoFundMe, whatever. It's the 31 Days of Wrestling. It's something we've been working on, something we're quite proud of. And I guess it's our way of just compiling the best of wrestling in 2015.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's a true story. My girlfriend actually asked me to give her a list of matches she should watch, and I'm glad I could say that this is also my idea. I'm glad I can say that okay, we're actually literally compiling, you know, matches from 2015 that you should see, and you should go read that if you want any idea of of the lay of the land, I guess, of the wrestling landscape. So, I don't know, if you have missed out, if you have not been paying attention, if you need a refresher on what wrestling looked like all year, this is for you. We're doing this for you, and we're doing this for the sake of, you know, recording history.
You know what? Something I realized while, you know, we've been doing 31 Days of Wrestling. Yeah. We're literally at the halfway point right now.
Getting that in.
I love Lucha Underground.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I really realized. Like, you know, all of the moments I was writing down, you know, for Lucha Underground, I was like, shit, I love this. And it was my way of, like, creating a primer na, if you haven't seen LU before, if you need a starting point, ito yun.
Pero Anthony has got that handled.
Oh, yeah. For sure. It's just... I guess I kind of want to do my part just because naunahan niya ako with Lucha Underground.
Right.
You know, so I was talking to Renzo from Play FM, and I was like, dude, if you haven't gotten into LU yet, this is where you start. Right. So I was kind of selling him on Vampiro versus Pentagon.
You kind of have to start from the beginning. You can't give him the ending because Lucha Underground doesn't work like a traditional wrestling show. It works more like the drama shows that we watch.
Okay. It's just...
You can't show him
the Vampiro, season finale.
You can't show him Vampiro versus Pentagon because that's spoiling away the entire, you know, the entire arc
of Pentagon. Yeah,
yeah.
Apparently, he'd seen it, so
which
I was like,
one?
Okay,
that match,
yeah, Cero Miedo.
Was it because of 31 Days?
No. Even before 31 Days came out, I guess akin lang is like I'm the type of person na medyo tamad ako kapag wala akong reason to hook me. So I would want to be shown like, ito, this is where you get.
You can't see the ending. That's not fair. It's not fair to you.
I guess. Anyway, if you need to like to know like how wrestling was in 2015, if you want to get a feel of how it was, the 31 Days of Wrestling is not a bad place to start. And we try to space it out as much as possible so we cover everything from WWE to TNA even, New Japan, PWR is there. We've got a couple of matches from PWR in there. Lucha Underground obviously covered, and some of the indie scenes. I believe we had ROH there. Briscoe versus Lethal.
We are doing as much as possible to cover all, you know, again, as much wrestling as we can. Because when you do these things, you're inevitably going to end up with the usual. You're going to end up with WWE, TNA, some TNA, New Japan, Lucha Underground, even because those were the most prevalent wrestling shows of the year. But of course, those were the only wrestling that happened this year.
Yeah. So, if you've been going to Smart Henry, if you've been checking it out,
it just so happens that those were the shows that were. Pretty much
at the forefront
of programming this year.
Yeah, so yeah, give it a shot, give it a look, and we'd be happy if you know you could tell us about it, tell us about the experience, because it's something we're proud of, and it's something
we just really want you to learn something. We just want the reaction to be, I didn't know about this or that match.
May ganito pala. Yeah,
thank you for showing me this, because. This is really great. This is something I could sink my teeth into, other than the typical wrestling I watch. And if you don't like it, that's fine. At least you got to expose yourself to it.
Yeah. So there. I guess that brings us to the end of episode 92 of the number one 27 ranked podcast in the sports and rec category.
That joke really doesn't work if you don't do it at the top.
Yeah.
What about time pick of the week?
Pick of the week, fine. Can we just agree that the main event of Raw was pick of the week?
No, I mean, like, that wasn't, like, the only great match of the past 2 days of WWE programming.
No, fine. I'll pick Ambrose versus Owens at TLC. Yeah. Ambrose versus Owens is great. I loved it.
I would have picked Ambrose versus Ziggler because they were doing a lot, but the ending, you know, even though it's called for,
yeah,
even though it makes sense, it ruins the entire match for me, as I know. As a pick of the week.
Right.
So, yeah, okay, I guess I might as well either pick the ladder match for the Tag Team Championship.
Yeah.
You know, Lucha Dragons versus the Usos versus Lillian Garcia. And also, siempre, the unanimous pick of the week is most undoubtedly the main event of Raw.
Yeah. So there, those are, you know, if you just want to skip through the bullshit or at least get to the really good wrestling from this week, there you have it.
Sayang yung ano, yung TLC main event.
Why? Why do you say so?
Because it could have been a great match. It could have been better than it was, but they spent too much time just trying to kick each other's ass. Because the biggest point of drama, the biggest source of drama in a TLC match is when you try to fight for the championship.
And climb the ladder.
At the top of the ladder.
Right.
That's always where the drama is. Because when you stay away from that for the majority of the match, I'm going to wonder why you guys aren't trying to win it. Because isn't that the point? The point isn't to really beat your opponent down. That's only secondary. That's only a corollary to what your main objective is.
Yeah, which is to maim your opponent to the point that you can climb the ladder.
No, the main objective is to climb the ladder and win the championship, to pull it down.
I always thought of it as maim them so you can climb the ladder.
No, the objective is to climb the ladder. It just so happens that you need to maim them because that stops them from
being able to. Yeah, which brings me to just to bring it back.
You can maim them kasi while you're on the ladder. That's a thing that is a thing that happens.
No, I guess this is why I am against having a ladder match in the same show as a TLC match.
Yeah.
Because it dilutes the drama. You would want to save everything for the main event. You would want to have the main event be climactic. And in the last 2 years, the ladder matches have stolen the show.
Because they're easier. They're much easier to script.
Right. So Ziggler Harper from 2014 was good. And yung triple threat ladder match this year was also great. So, you know, next year, if you really want to guarantee na namonopolize nung TLC matching drama, just do away with the ladder match. I'll understand it. You don't have to have a TLC pay-per-view where you have the TLC, then you have a tables match, a ladders match, and a chairs match. Like, I understand if you do away with the ladder match just for the sake of saving the drama for the main event. I get that.
Alright. Yeah, pretty much.
There.
Although, you know, it was worth it, I guess, for the whole meltdown.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, the saving grace. Parang, if you tuned out because of the TLC match.
Which I did, to be honest.
But at least you didn't, you know, completely tune out of the show. Yeah. You didn't turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, I finished it.
Yeah. But yeah. If you were actually one of the fans who turned it off, you would have wasted, you know, you would have missed the really, really cathartic meltdown.
Right. Next week on the podcast, we are going to be giving you our theme song awards. So that's...
Yeah, we got to, you know, close the year.
Yeah, that's become an annual tradition. And if we come up with an episode after Christmas, it'll most likely be the SGP Awards.
Yes.
So again, if you've been part of the group on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/SmarkGilasPilipinas.
It's the third annual SGP Awards, but the second time we're doing it on the show.
Right. So we outsource the votes. Voting ends on December 20.
Yeah.
So we need some time to actually compile the list,
yeah.
Right? And there are multiple categories. You got the usual Superstar of the Year, Most Improved Wrestler, Rookie of the Year, Theme Song of the Year, all of that, the whole shebang. It's covered there. And we'll be getting to those over the last 2 weeks of 2015.
Right.
Right. As for us, we're going to be ending this right now. I'm looking forward to Star Wars Episode 7 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And an advanced Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody.
Really? Already?
Advanced. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, you know,
next week.
Started. Eh. Whatever.
Right.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. May the Force be with you, everyone. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the SGP Podcast. To get more from the voice of the modern Filipino wrestling fan, go to www.smarkhenry.ph.